10:05, welcome back to the Chad Hasty Show on News Talk 790 KFYO. Online at KFYO.com, and we continue our Election Day coverage. And joining me right now to discuss his campaign for Texas Attorney General in the Republican primary runoff election, Dan Branch. Mr. Branch, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hey, Chad. Good morning. Thanks for having me on. Happy Election Day.
Yes, for you as well. I'm sure you're ready to get this thing wrapped up and move forward.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to the day, and I hope we'll have strong turnout. And we feel good. If this turnout's strong, we look forward to prevailing at the end of the day when the 7 o'clock hour hits.
This race has been pretty interesting, overshadowed a little bit by the lieutenant governor's race, but really there's been a lot of debate back and forth and a lot of stories back and forth about who is really fit for this office, for attorney general, who is electable, who isn't electable. Your campaign and others have made a big deal out of this Texas securities law deal that Ken Paxton, he paid a fine. He admitted that he had some wrongdoing. Tell us why you think this is a big deal, because you also wrote an opinion piece on this to the Texas Tribune, and you focused on this area a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely, and so did my our former rival, Barry Smitherman, who's endorsed my campaign and was originally not going to get in the race, as you know, and because of this incident, because it is a big deal, because he came in and endorsed our campaign and actually wrote a lengthy piece today talking about how many risks that Ken poses now for if he were to be the Republican nominee. It's a big deal because while he paid the administrative fine, once he was called on it by a newspaper investigation, and once he admitted it, I think over 9 different ethics filings over 6 years, so some 30-something revisions, those aren't, yes, he dealt with the administrative issue, but he voted in 2003, as did I, to make unregistered solicitation, the act that he admitted to committing multiple times over the last decade. And we only know about the early instance where he was sued on them. The 2012 incident, we don't know anything about that he was fined on. He hasn't told us. He hasn't come out, as the Tea Party leaders have acknowledged, he hasn't come out to talk on the campaign trail with me for over 2 months. And so it is a big deal. That's why his hometown police associations, McKinney and Allen, unendorsed him because he committed a criminal act. You see, the act that he committed and is admitted to, while he paid an administrative fine, which he hasn't had a district attorney or possibly a U.S. attorney, because he admitted to instances that took place under federal oversight. It's in the disciplinary order. That he hasn't been charged. And so just because he hasn't been charged doesn't mean he violated Article 29 of the Texas Security Act, which says, if you go read 29I, it says if you were soliciting without being registered, it is deemed a felony, period. And $5,000 or 2 to 10 years. And so this is a big deal. And therefore, for lawyers, that's why leading lawyers across the state wrote a letter that last week and again today. Conservatives, if we respect the rule of law, if we say we're against amnesty, we can't have amnesty for our top legal official. So his team can try to act like it's all been swept under the carpet, and, oh, we got caught, and so now we've dealt with it, blah, blah, blah. But the reality is, it is a big deal, and it could lead to indictment, it could lead to federal investigation, it could lead to bar disciplinary, losing his license, and further ethical Texas Ethics Commission issues. So he's got a series of risk scenarios that he needs to tell us about, and he won't talk in a serious way about these allegations. And so, Chad, it's a big deal.
Let me ask you about this. And I had your opponent, Ken Paxton, on earlier in the show today. He said that it wasn't a federal issue, that there's not going to be any federal prosecution. It's not a federal issue. It sounds like you disagree with him on that it could be a federal issue. Is, in your mind, these could be's, because you're bringing up a lot of it could be this, it could be that. Do you think that
passsandfacts.com or go and find the disciplinary order. Findings of fact number 4 indicates more than one instance took place during a period where the Texas Securities Board said they couldn't fine him for those because it was under federal registration. So there's a period from 2008 to 2012 where incidents took place. There's been a complaint, media has reported, and a complaint filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission. And so, yes, this is admitted to actions. And the question is, will a U.S. attorney, will the Securities and Exchange Commission file charges?
Do you think they will?
I have no idea. That's what I wish Senator Paxton would, instead of ignoring every single debate, every single forum. I've seen more of Barry Smitherman, our former rival, than I have of Ken Paxton. Everywhere I go, including Tea Party forums, there's an excuse why he can't make it. On television, on radio, he won't join me on stage, and he won't answer these serious questions. So I think that's why his own hometown police association unendorsed him. We have over 60 sheriffs and district attorneys. His website indicates he has 0. We have the endorsement of the Lubbock Professional Police Association. I was in your fair city last week on a tour. He didn't do a tour. I went to over 11 cities. And the Amarillo paper and the Lubbock paper and Representative King and Representative Four Price and Representative John Friedel there in Lubbock, 56 members of the House that have worked with both of us, including the Tea Party chairman, Alan Fletcher, and Dwayne Boak, the vice chair, have endorsed our candidacy. What does that say?
Visiting with Dan Branch, let me ask you a question. And this came out yesterday from Paul Burka, Texas Monthly writer. And he writes about your campaign and David Dewhurst, because you've been very vocal. When you've come on this show, you've talked about the Tea Party, your Tea Party backers. You've talked about your conservative record. You talk about how you're a conservative. Paul Burka, he doesn't do you any favors, by the way. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but he doesn't do you any favors. He calls you a moderate. He says you have much more in line with the moderate Republicans than the conservative Republicans. Well, how do you respond to that?
Responding to our friends, our liberal friends in the media, I mean, you know, I don't, you know, to me, I am an effective conservative. I grew up, I was a Goldwater scholar, Chad. I ran the Victory Fund for the reelection of Ronald Reagan. I've been a Republican my whole life. I've been a delegate to national conventions. I worked in the Florida recount for George W. Bush, helped him make sure we won Florida. I ran his campaign when he ran for governor to beat Ann Richards, won back Dallas County from the Democratic column. I spent my whole life working as a conservative Republican. I'm on a board in Washington that William F. Buckley was one of the founders of. My friends around the country think I'm a movement conservative, and yet I'm taking these sorts of false charges from the Paxton campaign. Some of the things they're saying in the TV commercials have been proved false by PolitiFact.
Like what?
And yet they're still saying them. So at some point, all we're doing is trying to lay the facts before people. Look, we said, hey, we're the most qualified. I'm arguing, pushing back, following in the footsteps of Greg Abbott, have the endorsement of the Greg Abbott lieutenants, have the endorsement of the Ted Cruz lieutenants, the lawyers who pay really close attention to this race and this office. And I'm advocating in the U.S. Supreme Court and the Fifth Circuit, as we speak, and the Texas Supreme Court, for our Texas values. My opponent is not even authorized to argue and appear in the U.S. Supreme Court or the Fifth Circuit. I've been talking about his record, his own statements, the statements of his hometown police. I'm just putting it out there. Hey, if people want to elect Ken Paxton, we're going to have a series of risks this summer, and the Democrats are going to have a pinata party. But I want to lay down the record. I wish we could get this behind us and just talk about who's the most effective conservative, who has a record over the last decade of actually getting things done, advancing the ball, having living government solutions, acting like a majority and winning the day, balancing our budgets, having a AAA bond rating for Texas, keeping money in the rainy day fund, on and on and on, pro-life, pro-gun, all the things we've done. and not just talk about it, but actually do it.
Let me ask you
so
this.
For me, the difference is I am an effective conservative who has a record of getting things done. I have not been a backbencher who just voted no and looked behind my back to see if my scorecards matched all the certain groups and therefore was being safe to vote no on everything. That's the sort of contrast I wish we could have had. But once you have a guy who admits in the same month he's asking for the people of Texas vote in this law on May the 2nd to multiple admissions of violating the law, one of which is he and I both voted to make a felony in the post-Enron time in 2003. If you try to swindle people, if you try to solicit them without being registered in Texas, Section 29 of the Texas Securities Act, it's a felony. And so all we have left now is whether or not he'll be charged. That is a legitimate question.
Visiting with Dan Branch, a Republican candidate for Attorney General. Dan, I want to give you 2 minutes here. Tell us a final statement to the voters out there, why they should vote for you over your opponent, and what separates you. Let's get into policy. Let's look at policy. What separates you from Ken Paxton?
If you're looking for someone who is a conservative, who gets things done, who cares about results and not just rhetoric, is someone who has been a lifelong social and fiscal conservative, and someone who has also been a lawyer, a full-time lawyer, rated at the highest levels. My opponent is not, for both ethics and for abilities. My opponent is not authorized and arguing today in the highest courts of our land. My opponent is not endorsed by leading lawyers, all those around Greg Abbott who've now left and returned to the private sector, all those leading lawyers around Ted Cruz who get this office and the importance of it. They realize that my candidacy represents someone who is a outstanding lawyer and a long-time effective conservative. And for this position, that's what we need. What we can't have is someone who can't be strong and stand up to Eric Holder because he's under the threat of not only state, but federal investigation for acts that he admitted to this month, but it hid until our newspaper outed him in late April. So, to me, it's a clear choice, Chad, and I respect the will of the voters, as we always do, but today we have a clear choice between an effective conservative who's been an outstanding lawyer and someone who has a lot of rhetoric about conservatism and not much of a record, but then has now admitted to multiple violations of the law, and he wants to be the chief law enforcement officer?
Dan Branch, appreciate your time today. Wish you luck out there. We'll visit with you again in the future. If the election goes your way tonight, it's going to be a pretty close election, I think, out there between you and your opponent. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Ted, and all best wishes to our friends in the hub.
All righty. Thank you, sir. That's Dan Branch, Republican candidate for Lieutenant Governor, throwing a few missiles out there. We'll go ahead. We'll take the break. When we come back, Ryan Sitton.